Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3. This is Love University. Dr. Alex Avila, psychologist, author, and speaker. And we're back today with a very interesting show where we talk about love and relationships and also self-esteem in many different ways. The goal here is to love yourself, others, and higher power. Now, today's topic is really interesting because it's something that we may think about sometimes, but we don't really know how much is too much. And we're talking about confidence. Confidence versus arrogance. How much is too much? How much is just enough? Because to be confident can affect you in many ways. Confidence is a belief in your abilities in certain areas, whether it's in your relationships, your business, your personal goals. And people with a high level of confidence can be great achievers in business, sports, politics, in their personal lives. But then you have another kind of individual that's arrogant. And arrogance is an overestimation of your abilities, kind of a false belief that you have more than you do, a belief that you're better than other people. And we're going to talk about how that can occur sometimes when it gets beyond the, you know, the idea of confidence and into arrogance. But first, let's talk about confidence, the idea that you have a self-belief in your abilities, that you can achieve what you want. And there is a indication that there is a biological aspect to this, a genetic or evolutionary side. If you are confident, let's say back in the prehistoric times, you're going to be able to go out and get the food you need for your family. You're going to be able to find a mate to reproduce with and also protect your offspring. So all these things come from confidence. They've done identical twin studies where the identical twins were similar in intelligence, and they measured their success in school, certain school courses. And what they found is that IQ was not the main predictor of success in school courses. It was their belief that they would be good, you know, for example, in science or math or whatever topic. So their confidence in their ability was actually what indicated if they're going to be successful. Now, you can be confident in one area in your life, perhaps it's relationships. You know, you're comfortable with dating or finding a soulmate or keeping the relationship. Maybe in business and finance, you're not very confident, or opposite. Maybe you're confident in your business world, career, but then when it comes to finding someone or dating or relationships, you don't have the same kind of confidence. So it can very much depend on an area of expertise. Many times we do what's called a confidence calculation. We think of something we want to do, and we think, what's our likelihood of success? How much confidence do we have in being able to do this? Obviously, if you open the refrigerator door, most of us can get the food we want, a piece of cake, and eat it. So we have 100% confidence in that. But when it comes to getting a raise from your boss, getting a date with the person you want to be with, starting a business, or even losing weight, people may not have confidence in some of those areas, you know, the ability to do it. So we're always looking at that, and if we don't have confidence, we're maybe likely not to try as hard, or maybe we might avoid the situation or even procrastinate. We take longer to do something because we don't think we can do it. Now, switching over a little bit to arrogance. Now, arrogance, again, is an exaggerated self-belief that you have something that you don't really have, an overestimation of your abilities. You know, I'm the best in the world. I'm the best lover. I'm the best a business person, whatever it is, and maybe you're not really that good. And they've actually done research, and arrogant people often use dominance words, power, control, empire. So that they're attracted to those kind of words, and sometimes they can dominate other people without taking into account their feelings. The opposite of that would be someone who is more empathetic, who cares about people's feelings, who really goes with harmony. So dominant or so-called arrogant people can steamroll other people. They can, you know, go over them without really caring because they want to win. You know, for them, the win is the key. The other thing that is a drawback for arrogant people is that they may overestimate their abilities and they suffer the consequences. Someone who's very overly confident, maybe arrogant, can say, I can do this job, you know, and they can do very well in a job interview. But then when they start working, they can't do it. You know, they don't have the ability or competence to, you know, follow through on what they promised. Or maybe they're so confident they procrastinate on an exam or a test or some project, and they take to the last minute to do it because they think they can do it, and then they find out they really don't have the ability to do it. And part of that is, you know, in our society, in the U.S. society, sometimes our teachers and parents overpraise children for abilities that they don't have. Oh, Johnny, he's a great little artist. Maybe Johnny sucks. He's not that good of an artist. But maybe he's good in science or some other thing. So we need to be careful with that. You know, overpraising people for things they don't have can be an issue and, you know, teaching them overconfidence or even arrogance. So this false and exaggerated self-belief in your abilities that, you know, maybe aggressive, maybe overly dominant, where does it come from? Now, some theories talk about arrogance being a defense mechanism. It's something, a way to protect ourselves from insecurities. Maybe as a kid, our parents yelled at us and criticized us. So as adults, we maybe develop this so-called overconfident or arrogant personality, where we think we know everything, where we're the best, kind of as a way to overcome that inferiority. And part of that can be rejecting other people first before they reject you. So if you're a loud person and aggressive, maybe even rude or obnoxious, you are giving people a signal, hey, don't mess with me. You know, I'm gonna be the one who wins in this encounter, in this verbal encounter. I'm gonna talk over you, I'm gonna interrupt you. And it could also be a way to get attention. Some people, you know, they starve for attention. So being rude, over the top, aggressive, even obnoxious and loud can be their way to get that negative attention and reinforce their behavior. Now, arrogance is a trait that can really harm relationships because arrogant people often tend to be selfish, self-centered. They care only about their feelings. They may talk over you and not be interested in your life or your feelings. In the beginning, they can be very charming in some ways. You know, confidence is very attractive and sexy, but the arrogant person goes far beyond that. So when you are with a partner, let's say you're dating someone or maybe in a relationship or even a friendship, and getting to know someone, you want to know the signs of the arrogant personality because sometimes they can hide it pretty well, but they do come out. For example, someone who's very boastful, they always talk about, hey, I have this great, amazing car and look at what I have and what I own, or they brag about their career or their money, may be a person that has that arrogant personality in a negative way. Someone who is rude, you know, we often say, how do they treat other people? Are they rude to the waiters or waitresses? And many times that indicates a certain arrogance. I'm better than you. So they believe that they're better than other people. You know, I'm superior. I'm smarter. I'm better looking. I have more money, more skill. Also, these individuals don't like to admit mistakes. When you catch them in an error, you know, they say, no, it's not my fault. It's someone else messed up. It's not me. And this is a really bad one, a difficult one to deal with in a relationship. They don't want to learn. They think they know everything. You know, why should I need to learn from anyone when I know all the answers? So that also can be a stumbling block. So these are the things you want to look for, whether it's a dating partner or even a friend. You might not want to get in a relationship with these kind of individuals because they can really be very difficult and even damaging to your self-esteem. It can be very critical, very negative. Now let's go to the positive side. Let's say that, you know, we're not going to be arrogant. We're not going to go to the extreme where we think we're the best and overestimate ourselves. But we want a kind of a confidence that is realistic and powerful and authentic. Now, here's some tips, some things you can do. Let's say you weren't born genetically confident, and you know there is some indication that people have a certain sense of confidence genetically. At least 50% of confidence can be genetic, but another 50% can be learned, something that you can develop through the environment and through your own learning. First of all, take criticism as growth. Now, nobody wants to be criticized. You know, people often shy away from that. You know, you stutter too much, or you know, you need to look people in the eye more, or whatever it might be. But some of that can be positive, you know, feedback, you know, things you can use for growth. So it's important to kind of take it with that idea that I'm going to use this criticism as a positive. I'm going to improve myself and become stronger and better in some way. The other thing about confident people is that they have realism. They're realistic. As opposed to the arrogant people who think they're the best at everything. You know, I can be starting guard for any professional basketball team, you know, even though you're 5 feet tall. You know, maybe you can, maybe you can't. Or I can... you know, write the great American novel when you really flunked English. You're not really good in English. But people who are confident have a realistic appreciation of their abilities. They know what they're good at, what they're not good at. And they pursue things that they're good at. They develop those talents. And they develop what's called mastery. Now, mastery is very important for developing confidence. You know, being good at something, even great. Whether it could be your career, it could even be being a great lover to your spouse, a great parent, a great friend. Maybe it's hobbies. You know, gardening, maybe it's cooking, you know, crafts, art, whatever it is that you love to do, you know, becoming good at that can give you a sense of confidence. Now, part of mastery is that you enjoy the process more than the result. It's not just about how much money you make or even products that you create, but it's just, you know, that you're learning and growing. Whether it's to be the best nurse or doctor, teacher, whether it's to be the best craftsperson, whatever it is that you do for a living or even for a hobby, you know, you start to enjoy it because you love it. Also, you take small steps. You know, let's say you start developing a new skill. Now, for example, shy people, and I've written a book called The Gift of Shyness, which talks about shyness as a positive. Shy people can be sensitive and also good listeners, but they often can be very self-conscious, People, they think that people are always judging them. So one of the things I teach people is, as a shy person, make small talk with the waiter or the waitress or someone that just around you that's very easy to talk to. So you start to develop some of your skills, some of your confidence as a shy person. And eventually you can start to make more small talk and maybe get into deeper topics and have confidence in that way. Visualization is another thing that people that have mastery develop. You visualize your success, whether it's the home you want to live in, your family, your health, your personal appearance, your finances, your career, whatever it is. See yourself 5 and 10, 20 years in the future attaining those goals. That will help you develop your confidence as well, your mastery. And the other thing, people that have mastery that also develop confidence, invest their time and energy in what they're great at, their passion, their abilities, and they don't get distracted by other things. They might get invited to a so-called fun party, but they turn it down perhaps because they'd rather be doing their writing or their science or their technology, whatever it is they love to do, or their art, or maybe being around the garden or spending time with their children, because that is their true passion. They don't allow themselves to be distracted by things that are not their strength. That is one of the keys of mastery. Something else that's really interesting for people that have a high level of confidence is that they celebrate their small wins. You know, whatever win they have in life, they go back in time and rethink, how did I succeed back in those days? You know, they remember the first date that they had with an attractive person that they really liked. Their first job that they really wanted, they got. Their time they hit a home run, in baseball or some sports success. And they rethink these things, and this builds what I call the reservoir of positivity, kind of a mental reservoir or holding place for all your positive memories. So people that are confident relive those memories. Now, people that are not confident may have successes, but they don't focus on them. They focus on the failures, the time they struck out, the time they didn't get the date, the time they didn't get the job they wanted. So their focus is more on the negative side of it, the gloom and doom, and as a result, they feel less worthy, less self-esteem, and less able to succeed in the future. So definitely you want to celebrate those wins, mentally. So you want to go back in time. I call it mental time travel, where you go back in time and kind of pull out those little elements, those little great successes that you had, or even small successes, those little things that made you feel good about yourself that gave you that confidence at the time. Something else that confident people have, and this is something you can develop, are nonverbal cues of excellence. So for example, sitting up straight, walking straight, smiling, making eye contact. These are the kind of things that are very subtle, but can give you confidence. Your tone of voice, speaking a clear, strong tone of voice, that can give you a lot of confidence. Now, in the book I wrote, The Gift of Shyness, I talked about claiming your space in the world. Because many times, people who are shy or feel socially inferior kind of cringe in the corner. They go to the corner. They kind of have a little bit of a shrunken personality and posture. But I say expand yourself. Walk in as if you just bought the place and walk out as if you just sold it. So you're basically claiming your power, your space, that you belong there, that you have value. And that can be an extremely powerful thing for anyone, not just a shy person, to believe that you belong where you are. You have something great to offer. So you have an innate talent or goodness about you. Maybe it's a kindness. Maybe it's a loving personality. Whatever it is that you have this unique and ideal, that is what you're expressing to people. Now, my favorite thing, this is something we talk about a lot in Love University. This technique works in many different ways. It is called loving energy without expectation. So when you are able to give to other people, whether it's a smile, compliment, maybe help someone with a donation, a homeless person, a needy person, listen to a friend that needs help, but listen with pure attention. That can be an amazing thing for you, not just to help people, but you start to develop your own confidence by helping others because you're projecting your inner love out and that is being returned to you in many different ways. Now, the person you help may not appreciate it. They may, ignore it or whatever, but you are like the sun. We talked about this before, where the sun shines on everybody. Now, some people don't like the sun, right? They cover themselves up, but the sun doesn't get mad. The sun just says, hey, I'm going to shine everywhere. So in the same way you shine your goodness and love and energy everywhere you go, and eventually it's going to come back to you and be an unexpected way. Someone you don't even know may call you out of the blue and say, hey, I have this for you, this special thing that you're going to love. So that is a way to improve yourself because many times people that lack confidence are very self-focused. They become self-centered. Poor me, no one likes me. And I get all the bad luck. So they start to narrow their energy. And they don't extend themselves. But on the other hand, if you give to others, you start to expand yourself, your aura, your spirit, whatever you might call it. And when you expand yourself, you just have more power, you know, to accomplish things, to help other people. You're more efficient and more effective. And if you think about it, confidence is extremely important to have in many areas of your life, whether it's your business world, you know, a confident as a business leader or business person or employee, confident in your relationships, you know, your romantic relationships, your, you know, your partner, your spouse, in your friendships, in your personal health, you know, the ability to, you say, I can lose weight, I can get in shape, you know, to believe that you can do that, have confidence in that. That's an amazing thing. Now, in relationships, especially confidence is important. For example, the confident person doesn't overanalyze if someone likes them. The person that lacks confidence is thinking, oh, do they like me and should I do something? So the person who has confidence assumes, hey, you know, I'm a good person. I have a lot to offer and of value. And if they like me, they do. If they don't, they don't. But I'm not going to try to change myself. I'm going to be my authentic self. And I'm going to naturally attract that person who wants to be with me and who harmonizes with me. So number one, they believe in their value in relationships. They don't try to, you know, overanalyze things. Number two, they trust their gut feelings. They know when this person is right for them, maybe the person is wrong for them. And they don't stay in bad relationships. They realize, you know, if it's not working out, it's for a reason. And it's not to do with them. They don't take it personally. Whereas people that lack confidence, you know, say, well, maybe I did something wrong. They blame themselves. They feel guilty. The confident person says, this is not the right relationship. It's not authentic. It's not harmonious. So we need to move in different directions. And it's considered a positive thing. So confidence being so important and arrogance being the other point, I like to look at what I call the middle point. You know, there actually is a middle point where you can have confidence with what I call humbleness. And this is the ideal state. Someone that believes in themselves and their abilities, but doesn't need to brag about it, doesn't need to think they're better than others. And they can have a sense of humbleness. Now, humbleness is sometimes defined as a certain sense of lowered sense of self or even a submission. But I like to think of humbleness as a spirit of gentleness and a respect for others, for humanity. Someone who has a kindness about them, a kind spirit. So if you combine both of those, I think you can become unstoppable. You know, you have confidence and also that humble, gentle spirit. And when you have that, first of all, you're empathetic. You know, you really put yourself in other people's shoes. You care, you know, think as they feel. You care about their emotions. You have what we call emotional intelligence, which we've talked about on the show. And also what I call love IQ, which is even a higher form. Love IQ is kind of an elevated form of emotional intelligence, dealing with qualities like compassion, gratitude, patience. People who have this middle, what I call the middle point, confidence and humbleness, also have higher level of self-control. They can control their appetites. You know, they don't fall into bad habits as much. They can curb their certain desires that may be against them because they're not just focused on themselves. They're focused on other people and also helping other people. So it's a much more different mindset. And as a result, they're more helpful. They like to contribute to other people, make sure someone is feeling good. So they're kind of the helpers and the healers of society and the caregivers. Many times they have better relationships because they, first of all, accept their partner as they are. Instead of trying to change the partner, which happens sometimes if someone's a dominant, arrogant personality that thinks, oh, I'm going to make them, you know, to be what I want them to be. No, they actually accept, you know, the person who's humble and confident says, you know, I love this person as they are. They may have their flaws just like I do, but we're going to work together. And at the same time, if there is a problem in the relationship, people who are humble, confident can say those two powerful words that some people don't like to say, and that is, I'm sorry. You know, if there is a mistake, they can say, I'm sorry. And that is a very healing force to be able to say that at times. And they can humble themselves and be able to do that. And as they know that a really confident person doesn't need to say they're confident. You know, they can walk in a room just by their aura, their presence. You know, you can detect that they are who they are. You know, they have something to offer of value, but they don't have to boast about it or brag about it or say they're the best. And in fact, humble leaders in the business world, in politics, in science, or any other area, even in sports, are often better liked and they're more effective. People will trust in them. They believe in them and they want to follow them because these are the individuals that, you know, have strength, they have abilities, but at the same time, they have a humbleness about them. They have a kindness and a compassion. You know, they really are human, and we are attracted to people who are human, that are able to do things, but also have that softness about them, that quality of kindness. So today, I think it's been an interesting day, because we have really delved into something in our society that we see a lot. We see in many areas of life, politics, business, even the media, individuals that maybe have confidence and they're very popular, but it may go into the form of arrogance, being better than other people, putting other people down, and then people suffer from that. So if we can learn how to have that confident personality where we can achieve things and help people, but also maintain humbleness and what we call love, because really love is the intervening factor. It is what softens everything. It is what gives everything direction. When you have confidence with love, then everything is possible, because now you look at not just yourself, but other people and others that you can help and contribute to. So my advice to everyone here is go out and be confident this week. Smile, make eye contact, be nice to others, be a person that wants to give, be grateful for what you have. And at the same time, realize the gift that you have. You're alive on earth, which is very, special. You have a certain amount of time to accomplish what you need to accomplish. And it's a great feeling to know that you can make a difference in the world by being confident and being humble at the same time. So this is Love University. I hope you guys have learned a little something valuable this week. And it's time now for recess. And you can go out and get your food or your drinks, whatever you guys like to do. Maybe play some volleyball or something like that. Until next time, this is Dr. Alex Avila. Oh, by the way, before I go, let me not forget this. If you want to contact us to be on our show, we recently had a guest. Actually, we have some more guests coming up. If you want to talk about your issues or even by email, you can email us your questions. We can answer it for you in a blog form. You can look at our website, which is loveuniversity.love. You can reach us at 310-226-8090. And also email us at lovetype4u@aol.com. And that's LOVETYPE, the number 4, the letter U at AOL.com. Until next time, this is Dr. Avila with Love University.